I like a lot of music, but there's a lot of music I don't listen to anymore. I used to at one time, but you know, one of the groups I used to listen to years ago was the Rolling Stones. Anybody know who the Rolling Stones are? I think everybody probably knows who the Rolling Stones are. Yeah, especially back in the 60s, you know, in 1965.
Back in my day.
Yeah, back in your days, Teddy, yeah.
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, one of Teddy's favorite groups. You know, but in 1965, the Rolling Stones released a song, and it was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, and it became Rolling Stones' first number one hit. And number one hit in the United States. And the song lyrics went like this: I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. It says, when I'm driving in my car and when a man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no satisfaction. I think most of us have heard that song at some point. And it's just kind of one of those songs that gets your attention. But the words to that song really has a lot of meaning in it. And I think, you know, this world, there are many people that seem like they can never get satisfaction. They're never satisfied, especially in their life. They seem to be unhappy, unfulfilled, unsatisfied, and they walk around in a season of discontent. They lack fulfillment in their lives. And, you know, I want to tell you that there is a secret of what can satisfy your life. And Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or you can just look at the screen up here and read. It says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:11 and 13. If you circle that word content, think about that word content. Paul is saying that in whatever situation he has found himself, he has learned how to be content. Can many of us, can we say that? Let me ask you the question, what is contentment? You know, I don't think it's apathy. Many of us may think that, but I don't think it's being melancholy. I don't think it's a spirit of laziness or adapting an attitude of complacency, which I've talked about here recently. It seems to be connected to a realistic view of your situation and adjusting to it. You know, we go through things, don't we? And contentment is independent from circumstance, and its power comes from relying on God. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what situation you find yourself in, we rely on God. Amen? How can I find joy in this jungle of life that we live in? Man, I'm telling you what, we live in a crazy world today, don't we? And I think back of Paul's time when I look at the history. And when you take what was going on in that region in that time, it was crazy for Paul too. I mean, they lived in a crazy world. It just really was, but the things that we see today, it seems to be getting crazier all the time. Crazy is the norm. Weird is the norm. So how do we deal with these situations in our life? How can we find joy? How can we find contentment in the midst of catastrophe or chaos? Paul says contentment is learned. We have to learn it. It's not something that is instantaneous. The situations of life are like a schoolhouse of learning. The problem is many of us turn bitter instead of better and when life deals us with a bad hand. Some people never learn how to be content, and they live a life unfulfilled and unsatisfied and unhappy. Now, how do we learn contentment? And Paul gives us some insights here in this scripture how to be content. He says, first of all, learn not to compare yourselves to others. That's what I see in this. So many of us, when you compare yourself to others, two things can happen. You can become prideful because you see yourself better than others. And you become jealous because you don't have what others have. And you compare yourself to others, it always leads to discontent because you always want more. And it's always been a saying here, especially in America, somebody wants what the Joneses have. And it's that chasing what the Joneses have all the time that you find yourself unhappy, unsatisfied, and disconnected, and not content with anything. In Philippians 4:11 there, he says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He's been hungry, he's been wealthy, he's been all these things, but he said, in whatever situation I was in, I was content. Paul has learned this contentment by not comparing himself with others. And if you want to learn to be content, you have to avoid these comparisons. You know, there's always going to be people that make more money than you. There's always going to be people who are smarter than you, especially me. There's always going to be people who are better looking, and that's for sure on my side. There's always somebody better looking than me. But let me tell you, those things don't make you happy. These comparisons have no bearing at all on your own personal happiness. And we'll never find happiness by looking around at what others have or don't have, what we don't have. The only way you can find happiness is by looking up to God. Amen. You know, there's three misconceptions about happiness. One is, I must have what others have to be happy. You know, that's really a myth. Let me tell you. And I must be liked by everyone in order to be happy. So many people, they hunger for others to love them and like them. And let me tell you, you're not always going to be liked. You're not always going to be loved, but yet you are, because we have a Father in heaven who will always like you, and He will always love you. Even when these people in this world today will turn their back on you, and they won't like you, they'll say mean things about you, and that happens, God is always there. Jesus couldn't please everybody. He even said, they'll hate you because they hated me. You know, and here's Jesus, perfect. We don't like perfect people, do we? I just had to throw that one in there. You know, none of us can go through life without some disapproval. I mean, I'm sure that there's many here this morning that disapprove with me. There's things that you don't like about me. There's things that you say I could do better. I'm being honest now, okay? But we have that mindset sometimes because we look at other things and we say, well, if he'd just do this, maybe this would happen. Or if he'd just do this, this would happen. I'm being honest now. No offense, I got big shoulders. But I'm being truthful. Jesus was in the same boat. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus by any means, but I'm just saying we all are in that. But that's the way this world is. And when we look at those things and seek approval from this world, we'll never be happy, we'll never be content. That's what Paul is trying to say in all things. No matter where I was at in life, whether I was in prison or whether I was rich or whether I was hungry, whether I didn't have the right clothes to wear, it didn't matter. I was content in all things. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, it says, "Now godliness is with contentment and great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food or clothing, with these we shall be content." The fact of the matter is that all possessions are temporary. Even the bodies that we have will one day be placed into the ground. We all know that. We need to take care of ourselves, I will say that. But, you know, it's all just temporary. We know that they're not going to last. But the most important thing that we can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to learn to adapt to change. I know that's a big thing because most of us don't like change. But the world changes all the time and has for thousands of years. People change. Everything in life changes, and there's nothing else that is happening to you right now. Let me tell you, you're changing because you're getting older. I've seen a lot of change in my life, especially here over the last couple of years. You know, it seems like when you get a certain age, things start to change. You start to notice things. And it's just inevitable. Things will change. Everything in life, in this life, is changing. And we could live long enough, we could watch the mountains erode into the sea. But change is certain to happen. And it's how we handle change. How do you handle change? How well do you adapt to the changes around you? Some people get moody, some people get mad, and some people get frightened, and some people get uptight. But Paul says that one of the secrets of learning to be content in life is the ability to adjust to all kinds of circumstances. All these changes that go on. If we're going to be successful in life, we need to learn to adjust to change in a positive manner. Philippians 4, 11, 12 again, it says, "I've learned in whatever state I'm in, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer." Paul says that he's been through good times and he's been through bad times, but through it all he has learned how to be content in all situations. You know, contentment, though, is not based on the situations of life. True joy and happiness do not come from your situation or circumstances, but out of a relationship with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He's the only one that brings true joy. He's the only one that brings happiness. You know, it's this fact here that when Paul is writing this right here, he's sitting in prison. Can you imagine that? He's sitting in prison and he's writing this letter and telling everyone, just be content. Be happy. Man, that's pretty powerful. That shows his relationship that he has with God Almighty, and it shows that it's real. Because it would be hard to sit in prison, and I'm sure the prisons then were not like the prisons today. They were not air conditioned. They weren't heated. They were smelly. They were dark. They were dirty. But yet Paul says, "I'm content." He says, "I've learned in whatever state I'm in, I'm content. I can live above the problems of this world. I can live above the hurts I have suffered. I can live above the bad memories. I can live in victory rather than live as a victim. I will not be manipulated by the things in this world. Isn't that wonderful to be able to live like that? And God, Jesus Christ gives us the power to do so through the Holy Spirit living within you. All of us have had bad things happen to us in this world, but how do you handle them? That's the question. What's your choice? You have a choice. You have a choice to choose. There are things that you can control and there are things that you can't control. The things that you can control are like when I'm watching a TV show and it starts going a direction that I don't like. I have a choice to either watch it or turn it off, right? Or change the channel. You have a choice. I don't have to watch those things. If I don't like the way I'm thinking about something, I can change my thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
You can change your thoughts. Those are things that you can control. If I'm hungry, I can get up and eat something, right? I can change that.
Yeah.
If I'm thirsty, I can get something to drink. And I understand there's some things that I can't change. There's things that I can't control. There's situations that I can't control that happened. Sometimes it's having the right words to say. Man, that's a hard one, isn't it? Saying the right words sometimes. Saying the wrong words can be bad too. We talked about that Wednesday night. We talked about judging others. Man, that was that's a tough one, isn't it?
Judging others.
You guys missed out. In Proverbs 25:11, it says, "The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry." Proverbs has a lot of interesting facts in it. Sometimes knowing when to say something is as important as what is said. You know, we have to be careful, though, with what we say. Why does that go into this? Because it's things that we can control and things that we can't control. The things I cannot control is this. Sometimes we find ourselves in uncontrollable circumstances that this world throws at us. Paul was in prison. I think that wasn't something that he chose. That was a situation that was not in his control. But yet he says, "I'm content." He couldn't change it. But yet he was content in where he was at. He believed that God had put him there for a reason. Sometimes we have to adapt when things or people just don't change around us. The key to adapting is trusting God. Amen? Let me say that again. The key to adapting is trusting God. You believe that this morning? In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." So if you trust God, if you're saved this morning and you believe that, it doesn't matter the good things or the bad things. That's all things, right? That falls into that category. All things work for the good of God or for the good of those who, you know, who love God. Sometimes these bad situations, we can look at them, the world can look at them and say, "Man, that's a bad situation." If Paul here, he's in prison, you could say that was a bad situation Paul was in. Paul says, "I'm content." And you need to be content and trust in God. This may be a bad situation. This may be not good. But let me tell you, it's going to get better because God will make it better somehow. You know, God's always not only in the good stuff, but He's in the bad stuff too. That's my point. We need to learn to draw on the power that Christ has available for us. Do you seek God's power to control your life? Do you ask God in every situation to be a part of that situation? Or do you just try to lean on your own understanding of things and try to do it your way? We need to draw on the power that Christ has available to us. Instead of depending on our own strength and our own effort, we always try to make things better, but sometimes we make things worse. Philippians 4:13 goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I like that all. I can do all things. All. That means anything that God leads me to do. All things. Through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, in Christ's strength, I can handle it all. His power to handle it all was not in his own strength, and he had learned to rely on God's strength. He did not sit around and mope and cry and whine. He learned how to cope with things. I think we struggle with that, don't we? Learning how to cope with things. Sometimes life is not easy. I understand that. Sure, with God, it sure makes life a lot easier. I'm able to do all things through Him who gives me strength. Man, can you leave today with that in your heart? Can you leave today remembering that this week? Quoting that. Putting that in your heart. Man, I can do all things through Christ because He gives me the strength to do it. I can stand up here and preach because Christ gives me the strength to do it because I couldn't do it without Him. I can do a lot of things, but not like I can through Christ. Through Christ, I can master anything. But it has to be through Christ. You know, if you're facing a big problem today, this morning, I'm telling you, God wants to give you the strength to make it through it. And He will. He'll give you the strength to cope with things. He'll give you the strength to deal with it. He'll give you the strength to make it through to the other side. You can do that with all confidence, knowing that God is real. He will give you the power. He'll give you the strength. If you just learn to rely on God. You know, when you look at that word strength there written in the Greek word for strength is the word, the same word that we get the word dynamite from. Isn't that interesting? Paul's saying Jesus Christ is the dynamite in my life. He makes things happen. He can blow things up. Man, sometimes we're good at blowing things up. But Christ does it in a way that just, man, He gives you the power, the strength. You can do dynamic things. You know, Jesus even said this before He ascended into heaven. He said, you guys will do greater things than I ever did. Can you imagine that? You think about greater things than what Jesus did?
Yeah, what Jesus.
Man, that's a thought, isn't it? So we just need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to rest in the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. Philippians 4:19, later on in that passage, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. You know, it didn't say He'll supply all your wants. He says, but I'll supply all your needs. I'll give you everything that you need. Maybe an old coat that you need, but He'll give it to you. That's the statement of trust. I tell you right there. It's a statement of faith. If you're a child of God, He has made a promise, and after promise that He will take care of you. You know, there's over 6,000 promises in the Bible. Man, 6,000 promises. God gives a lot of promises. One example is, don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Everyone is concerned about these things, and your Heavenly Father certainly knows you need all of them. But first, be concerned about His kingdom and what He has approved. Then all these things will be provided to you. Matthew 6:31-33. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Some of you are thinking about that right now, what you're going to eat for lunch. Because I'm preaching too long this morning. Yeah, I know. But let me tell you, He says, don't worry about those things. So now I got 5 more minutes to preach. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. You know, that's another thing. Don't get me started on that. You know, people are so concerned about that. And we talked about judging others on Wednesday night. And you know, this week, pink hair must be the thing right now. I've seen a lot of pink hair this week. And I look at pink hair and I think, my goodness, it's bright. Hurts my eyes. But you know, it's just people striving and hunting for attention because they're unhappy. They're not content. You know, and they need Jesus in their life. And I'm not saying everybody that wears pink hair doesn't have Jesus. I tell you what, I might wear pink hair one of these days. It'd probably be more blue the older I get. But you know, it's just color, right? It doesn't mean anything to God. We have to look beyond that because that's what God does. He said in the Old Testament, He says, it's not about the outward appearance of a man that I care about. He says, it's about what's in the heart. It's what's in the heart that matters. Jesus talked about that with the banquet. You know, He talks about it. You know, every time the Bible talks about what we should wear and clothes, it always circles back around to talk about not being flashy, not being this. In other words, taking the eyes off of yourself. Being content, in other words. I'll get off that. I've got to get somewhere else here. You guys want to go eat?
Yeah.
I love Teddy. Keeps me on my toes, doesn't he? Yeah. You know, the reason that people are unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled is because Jesus Christ is not the center of their lives. That's really it. Man, we got to, you know, this church is God's church. He is the reason we're here. Amen. It's the reason we come. It's the reason I came this morning is because I wanted to honor my Savior. I wanted to praise Him. I didn't come for you guys. I'm sorry. I know it's my job. But let me tell you, most of all, if I wasn't the pastor here, I would still be going somewhere to praise God. It's not about my circumstance. It's not about my situation. It's about who is the center of my life, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Whether I'm here or somewhere else or sitting in a fishing boat or wherever I'm at, my center is Jesus Christ. Let's keep Him that way. Let's keep Him that way in this church. Let's keep Him that way in our lives. And when Christ is the center of your life, everything else around you shows that. It gives you a purpose. You learn to trust God. You learn to draw on that personal relationship that you have with the Father up in heaven. and He will fill those holes in your life of unhappiness and discontentment and being unsatisfied. When you try to find satisfaction in your life through people and popularity and possessions and prestige, you'll never be content. You will never be satisfied. So, this morning, as you leave here today, trust in Jesus. That's my final words today. Trust in Jesus and be content in everything so that you can sing a song. You can get satisfaction, let me tell you. There's an old hymn that I love. We haven't sang it in a while, and I love this old hymn. It says, "All my life long I had panted for a drought from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His life I now am saved. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. Lord, let it be burnt into our hearts today as we leave this place. Lord, bring us safely back this evening. Lord, be in our lives throughout this day and this week. Lord, we praise You, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.